It's gonna be a good day. If you go the right way, you might die quickly or solve a mystery. What adventure will you choose? What would Jerry do? Shake it, ha. Hey everybody!
Hey y'all! Welcome back!
We're just sitting over here dancing to our new theme song.
We love it so much.
Oh my gosh, it's fantastic and it's so catchy.
Like the 37th time you listen to this, it's gonna get stuck in your head.
I listened to it a solid 10 times the first time I even heard it.
Yeah.
You know, how do you just listen to it again and again? Yeah.
Yeah, but thank you so much to our friends Jacob and Danielle Prestige.
Yeah.
From their LA-based band called The Blackbird Review.
Seriously fantastic. They got this done so fast.
Yeah, they're amazing, and I love them.
Yeah.
And I love our new theme music.
It's fantastic.
So thanks so much to them.
Really, thank you.
And yeah, you can find them on Facebook and whatever. We'll tag them.
Blackbird Review. What?
Yeah, and Jake has some other, another project called Windsurfer, where he does some more instrumental stuff for TV shows and movies. You've seen, probably heard some of his stuff on Fox and NBC and all the major networks.
That's cool.
Yeah, so they're doing some sick stuff out there in LA. I'm going to give them a quick shout out, but I'll post the link down in the comments. And,
nice.
You guys can check them out there.
Perfection. Hey, by the way, if you haven't figured it out by now, I'm Eric.
And I'm Chad.
Yeah, and we're back again for another round of What Would Jared Do?
A Choose Your Own Adventure podcast.
Yeah, perfect. So here we are. It's been a little while for us.
Yeah, you know, it's no secret. We record these a little ahead of time, and we take a little bit of a break.
Yeah, you know.
But we're back
at busy,
it.
We're busy people, busy lives.
Very, very busy.
Yeah, April was pretty nuts. Although
it was,
I guess,
a little crazy.
It's almost June,
it
so
May?
Now it's May.
What
and,
month is it
yeah,
now?
When I don't even know when we recorded last. Anyway,
is it still 2017?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think we still got a solid half a year left.
All right. Now I'm good.
Jeez.
But yeah. So
okay, folks.
Here we are. You guys know how this podcast works.
So much so that we're not even going to catch you up.
No.
Look, we're just going to jump right in, folks.
Yep, go back and read the old stuff.
Seriously, or listen to it.
Oh, true.
We'll read it, and you listen
we'll
to
read,
it.
That's how it works. That's right. How I need to know how the podcast works. We read it, you listen.
Oh, that's how this works. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, but you guys know I grew up reading these books in Western Kansas, and Eric, you have had such a diverse history and experience.
Well, Chad, I'm a pretty
this
cool guy.
In your 45 years of life.
I'm so mature. Graying.
But maybe you want to give us another kind of, give us one more, like,
one more
volume
well,
of like your
all right.
encyclopedic
so,
history.
When I was a younger lad, I was actually part of the roadie crew. For Herman's Hermits.
Okay.
And they're this nice pop band, you know.
I haven't heard of them.
You haven't heard of them?
No, I'm not.
Man,
Herman's
they were
Hermits.
Super popular.
I heard of Susie's Hermits.
No.
Not Herman's,
what?
Though. Yeah.
You heard of Susie's Hermits, but not Herman's?
That's, yep.
Well, that is just a travesty, and you should all go listen to Herman's Hermits. You know, they're really great guys, and I probably followed them around 3 years in a row, being on their roadie crew. I got to know them all really well. They were just a ton of fun. Their music, super catchy and poppy. And, you know, after a while, we kind of became family, because you're just on the road with each other for months and months and months, and what are you going to do on the buses or the airplane flights and all this luggage over to, you know, Las Vegas and Seattle and Maui, all this crazy stuff. So, I mean, what better way than to pass the time by reading some Choose Your Own Adventure books?
Hey, it's a fan, good pastime of mine.
I mean, Herman loved them. He's the one who kind of got me started on them. So it was just a really, really fun way to pass the time as we passed by all of the, you know, fields and clouds on our way to gigs. So
yeah,
that's pretty much it. I kind of miss the roadie lifestyle, but I also, you know, I don't hate being settled down here in Kansas City for the time being. So
it's a great place to be.
Allows me to hang out with you. So
you know, one place I've always wanted to visit though.
Yeah.
Was the moon.
The moon.
Yeah.
You know, I've kind of always wanted to go to the moon too.
Well, I think then we're in for a real treat today.
What?
Because today we're reading Choose Your Own Adventure number 26. Moon Quest.
Oh, how much better can it get?
So I think you and I are, we're going to go visit the moon today.
We're bound for a quest on the moon.
Maybe, who knows? Like, there's been a lot of times we thought we were going to go do something and then we, like, totally didn't do it at all.
Okay, but for real though, if we don't ever even one step foot on the moon in this book, I'm going to be real pissed.
I'm going to be super pissed. Hey, fun fact, this book... Normally, all the books we've read before have been written by R.A. Montgomery.
Hmm.
This book was written by Anson Montgomery.
Anson?
Yep, and he wrote, I think, 4 or 5 titles in the Choose Your Own Adventure series.
Okay. Is he related, I'm assuming?
You know, I did some brief internet research, and I couldn't find anything. But, you know, we'll keep looking.
Anson,
probably.
Anson the Mysterious Montgomery.
Anson the Mysterious Montgomery.
Yeah, okay.
So here we go. I think we should just dive right in.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's see what Anson has in store for us.
I mean, we're used to RA.
Yeah, yeah. Who knows? Might be some wrenches in the plan.
Okay. The A in RA is not Anson. I did find that out. So, it's not RA Montgomery using a different name.
I am RA, but I'm being sneaky by saying I'm just Anson.
So, Eric and I, we're going to come together to form
Cherick.
And what do you say we blast off?
Let's blast off to the moon. I see what you did there. You clever bastard, you. All right, here we go. Chad's going to read first. To the moon.
Well, I'm starting to think that Anson wrote that Indiana Jones book that we read. Because I read for a while.
That was only like... 15 minutes.
Yeah,
that's fine. I almost nodded off a couple times.
Well, good news for us.
We have a choice.
We're on the moon.
Well, that's very true, yes. We didn't start on the moon. We started in the moon, folks.
Okay, so it is June
2053. You know what's creepy about that, Chad, is we'll probably both be still alive. 2053.
Shoot. You know? I hope so.
Like, really, if we think about it.
I think that we should set a reminder on our phones for 2053.
And listen to this.
And like come back to listen to this to see how accurate Anson was. And if we're like both living on the moon, like that's a messed up stuff.
Yeah, how about that? Well, that'd be crazy.
But it's 2053. Earth has we've colonized the moon.
And Mars. Yeah. There's about, 100,000
people? 100,000 people that live on the moon. Yeah. Mostly underground in caves and caverns.
Mm-hmm. Tunnels that we've dug.
There's also glass domes on the moon's surface. Some people have taken to living there, although we don't understand why. So we were born on the moon. Yeah. Our parents were from Earth.
Yes.
So we are a moonling?
I would just say that we're a moon child.
Ooh.
Yeah. That sounds pretty cool, right?
Yeah, so we're a moon child. And, yeah, and so there's a lot of stuff happening on the moon right now, like, on the political, like, landscape. There's a big push to see, like, a lot of people want lunar independence.
So, yeah, just totally breaking away from Earth altogether.
Because right now, the moon colony is governed by, like, 20 different countries on Earth, and sometimes one country wants something from the moon that the other doesn't.
It's politics,
but we also
you know.
Like really rely on like imports from Earth, and it's where we get all our favorite TV shows from.
Yeah, so we're still definitely a part of Earth.
Our parents, though, are like advocates for lunar independence.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, me, Chad, I'm kind of leaning lunar independence too.
Yeah, you think so?
After these 27 pages I just read.
Well, I mean, there are definitely some...
More... Yeah, there's pros and cons.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
I just got stuck. Words stopped coming to my brain.
But more immediately for Jarek.
You know what?
What?
It's like summer vacation on the moon.
Yeah.
We had our last final.
Well, we're taking it now. We took it.
Right.
We read the part where we took it.
Right. I was just kind of like skimming through that part. You were going to
skip through that part?
Yeah. Well, you know, like...
Okay, so I just want... There's one, I think, semi-maybe important part that could affect our choice.
Kick it. Let's go.
And so we had our last final. It was calculus final. We passed it with a 97.
Because we're a genius.
Because we're super smart. We're moon genius. And we don't really tell... Like, we have two friends, Tamil and Emma... that we hang out with, and it says that we, here's the part I wanted to point out, after we pass it, the voice on the computer tells us that we have gotten special placement in the summer scientific corps. Okay. So I just want to, let's just put a pin in that.
Put a pinky?
Yeah, a pinky. It's the thing that me and some of my other friends say, like, when you, like, want to, like, have a thought or you don't want to, like, disrupt the conversation.
Right.
But you're like, I want to come back to this idea. You, like, pinky.
Is that, like, when that little kid put his finger in the dam to block his whole city? Yeah, or,
like,
from
if you're, like, reading a book and you don't want to lose your place and you, like, you know, you stick your, like, stick your pinky in it. But
that's what a bookmark's for.
Sometimes you don't have one.
Well, that's why you fold the...
You never dog ear.
You don't dog ear?
No.
Dude, I dog ear.
Never.
What?
It ruins it.
Why? It's just a little dog ear.
Eventually, 100 years from now, when somebody's reading that book, it's gonna... Like, the corner will rip off.
Oh, they won't know what page they're on. That's not true. A lot of times it's in the middle of the page.
Hey, I don't judge you.
Well, yeah, I don't know about that.
A little bit. So... Pinky in the summer scientific corps, but
Pinky in the summer scientific corps. You know, as a sentence, that sounds really strange. But yeah. Continue. Ow! I'm sorry, folks. I just whacked my knee on this table. If everything went wild for a moment, that's why.
Okay, and normally, besides going to school, we work two jobs.
We're busy.
Which I think it's like a pretty normal thing for like a moon kid to do. Like, there's 100,000 people who live on the moon. It takes a lot of work to like keep
us, yeah, I guess like, that's living. True. Plus, if we don't have anything to do, we just get all sorts of shenanigans.
We work in the geology lab, and we also do part-time work giving tours for visiting Earthlings.
Mm.
So we're hanging out in the hydroponics dome with our friends Tamil and Emma.
This is like Tamil's favorite place.
Tamil's favorite place. He claims he discovered it when really like we discovered it and showed it to him. But whatevs, Tams. And we wear the super sick like antique watch that our grandpa from Earth gave us. But like everybody else like wears these like Apple watches pretty much, like they get messages on there, you know.
Right, yeah.
And anyway, so Tamil gets messages for us. And he's like, why don't you just wear that watch that your parents gave you? I hate getting messages for you all the time. And it's two messages, one from each of our jobs.
Mm.
And one is the geology lab saying, hey, we chose you to go on that mission to the far side of the moon. We've never been to the far side of the moon. Mm. And the second message is from our boss at the tourist company, Al. And he says that there's a special diplomatic mission coming from Earth.
I thought you were going to say Alderaan.
No.
Okay, sorry.
Earth.
Okay. I'm on a diplomatic mission from Alderaan.
At that rap.
Okay, no, sorry. Diplomatic mission from Earth.
And he wants us to give them the tour. So if we decide to go on the mission to the far side of the moon, turn to page 14. If we want to act as a tour guide, turn to page 30. Sorry, that was a lot to go over. Well, but it was a lot to read. Eric, what do you think?
There was a lot of exposition there. Chad, I'm really... So, we give tours a lot.
Yeah. We've done a lot of tours.
We've done a lot of tours. But we've never been to the far side of the moon.
Sure. Correct.
So the adventure-y part of me really, really wants to go check out with the Geological Survey what's happening on the other side of the moon.
I think the difference is this tour is a special diplomatic mission. So we might get involved in this, like, lunar independence rebellion?
You think it's going to be that intense?
I mean...
Do we want to be involved in a lunar rebellion?
Did Luke?
No, but he kind of got to the point where he didn't have a choice because he left his aunt and uncle and then they burned to death. So in that scenario, well, what if it is like Luke and we go to the other side of the moon and then we get back and everybody's just destroyed and then what do we do?
Then what do we do? We could live on Mars.
Well, I guess that's true. Or Earth. We do seem to love Earth quite a bit. Or at least it intrigues us.
It is a punishment in some ways, though. Don't go to ancient China.
Don't do it. Don't trust aliens.
I'm really 50-50 on this.
I think that either way that we go, something interesting is going to happen.
I think either way, something interesting will happen. I think there could be something on the far side that we could potentially discover.
Yeah.
I think there could be something that happens with the special scientific core thing.
Yeah.
That seems more tied to the geology thing.
Definitely. I'm just worried that if we decide to lead her on the diplomats, it's just going to be like pages of us leading through the lunar bubbles and all of the city, and because we're giving them a tour, you're just going to be reading more and more pages.
I think it's going to be your turn to read the pages.
Ah, yes, I see.
But yeah, I could almost flip a coin on this. I think the far side seems more fun.
I think that we should try it.
I think it might be a choice we come back to, but...
Definitely. We can come back to this choice now that we have changed our own rules.
Yeah.
Shall we try to...
Yeah, I think let's try. Let's, Okay. So we are going to go on the mission to the far side of the moon and turn to page 14.
Heck yeah, we are. Alrighty, Chad. Well, we are on our way, sir.
Yes, sir, we are.
So, we're going to catch you up real quick here, folks. We decide to go on the expedition.
Yep.
Right? And pretty much immediately, Tamil, he knows exactly what we're doing. And we're like, dude, we didn't even tell you yet. He's like, well, that's what I would have picked to do. So we say goodbye to him.
Good or bad? I don't know.
Right, yeah. I guess we'll have to find that one out. But we leave Emma and Tamil, and we head home, and we carefully check our spacesuit, and we start, you know, throwing all of our stuff together to get ready for this expedition.
Before we even ask our parents.
Yeah, no, yeah. Cool. Yeah. We get all of our stuff ready, we're like packed and ready to go, and then we ask our parents. We're like, hey mom, can we go?
We're like, hey, so I'm leaving.
We've been invited.
Like, on what?
And she for some reason thought the expedition wasn't for a while. And thought that they, you know, we would have discussions about it before we left, which is just ridiculous. But then we tell her that we got 97 on our exam, and she says, well, I guess that gives you some leniency, and, she said, that excellent grade buys you some freedom.
Yes.
So we thank her mom, and we run away. And we got a note from Dr. Nasir, the leader of the expedition, saying to meet her in the central staging station for transport. So we head down to the station. There's tons of equipment. There's this huge lunar bus-looking thing that's kind of insect-like.
Yeah, it's got like, legs.
Big wheels and spikes in them. But for the rougher parts of the moon, it's got these like legs that can come out and crawl over the moon for the really tough spots.
Like, you know what I thought of when you were reading about that?
No.
Do you remember the movie Wild Wild West starring
Did you mean that enormous mechanical spider thing?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking that like this looks like.
Yeah.
Like three of those spider things like hooked together.
Yeah, that thing was really big and stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can see that. That's a good visual.
That's the mental image I have.
So imagine that really big mechanical spider with some wheels on the bottom, and that's pretty much it.
Oh, you want to know another story about Wild Wild West?
Kind of.
So at like McDonald's or Pizza Hut or something, they were like giving away like Wild Wild West stuff, and like one of the things were those like Wild Wild West sunglasses that Will Smith wore.
Uh-huh.
Like these really small circle ones.
Mm-hmm.
My dad got a pair of those and loved them so much, I swore he wore them for the next 4 years. And I bet he has them, like these cheap sunglasses from McDonald's. I bet he still has them.
And he still wears them.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
That's going on like 20 years.
They like fit right in his eye sockets.
Got them from McDonald's.
He got them from McDonald's. And this my favorite Wild Wild West movie memory.
That's a marvelous story. I appreciate shout that story my, more than the rest of the film. Shout out to my
pops and his amazing choice in eyewear.
Oh my goodness. But like, maybe that's where you get it from.
Yeah, maybe.
Nice.
Wait. What?
I just meant all your aviators.
Well, true.
I wasn't trying to be facetious.
But,
like, I was kind of
making fun
but
of
you
my
were
dad.
Making fun of him, and then I. Yeah, that,
yeah,
work.
That did.
I piggybacked off of that in the incorrect way.
Okay. What else happened?
And then so back to the story,
and we leave,
folks.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, we pretty much leave. We meet up with a doctor who's super nice and very informative, but doesn't have a great sense of humor. We end up meeting our good friend Emma's sister. Her name's Sarah.
Yeah, we did.
Chad's excited.
I feel like this is a Cherick love interest.
Well, that's probably, yeah, for sure. You think it's Emma, but no, it's
no,
her
it's
sister.
Sister,
yeah,
sister
it's
Sarah.
Her sister Sarah. Who's always kind of been shy around us, apparently, but maybe
she's
we're hoping up. That she'll, yeah, she'll open up a little bit to us, especially if we get enthralled in some danger. So we're like rolling out, and Dr. Nasir comes over, asks us if we're fine, and then she has one more thing. She says, oh, you'll have an opportunity to learn many things about a lot of the different aspects of the jobs that we'll be doing while we're out here. She's working with the analysis team, but she says that we might be more interested in learning about the machines that we use and driving. One of the rigs that we're in requires tons of knowledge and almost a degree in and of itself. And all the exoskeleton survey equipment is super, you know, interesting. So we're like, thanks, Dr. Nasir. And then we have to decide what we want to do on this trip. If we want to work with Dr. Nasir and the more of the geological aspects of this mission, then we go on to the next page. And if we decide that we want to learn how to run the machines, we turn to page 40.
Well, I feel like all these choices so far have been very, like, I could go either way.
We really could go either way. I personally feel like we made a decision to go on this to be a part of the geological survey team.
Sure.
So that is certainly where I am still more interested in going. I would rather hang out with this doctor chick and kind of get a feel for the stuff on the moon versus, like, I mean, the equipment sounds cool and it probably is fascinating, but I don't know. It doesn't sound as adventurous or interesting to me.
You don't
want
to learn how to drive the Wild Wild West spider bus?
I mean, I kind of do. That sounds pretty epic. Do you think that they'll let us?
It sounds like it.
There's lots of equipment, though. I think that we should definitely keep calling it the Wild Wild West Spider Bus,
yeah,
though.
No, yeah, that's the official name.
That's fantastic.
That's the official name. Trademark. I think that... Don't sue
trademark.
Us. Will Smith, don't sue us, okay?
Don't do it, Will. You have so much money already.
In fact, why don't you come be a guest on our podcast?
Yeah, Paul Rudd is not hanging out with us.
No.
He's being real rude. Actually, he probably doesn't even
he
really
know
that we exist.
Know.
So it's fine.
If he did, he'd come. He's a nice guy.
He does seem like a nice guy.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
Celebs.
Yeah.
He's in town, like,
is
this
he?
Weekend.
Well, then, shit, Chad! We should hire people,
or, like, next
his
weekend.
People. Oh, man. Oh, well. Back to the choice at
Back
hand.
Back to the choice. Anyway. I'm with you. I mean, I think driving this stuff sounds exciting, but I think we could go on the geological survey.
Okay.
Seems like we might discover, like, one of those, like, scary creatures who, like, might live out here.
Right?
Like a lunar artifact from a civilization we didn't know existed.
All these things sound awesome.
I'm in. Let's do it.
Okay. Well, hey, we're going to go on to the next page.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
Woohoo!
Page 21.
21 for the win.
Well, we've been presented with another classic choice.
Classic Cherrick choice that Chad and I have a nasty habit of answering poorly on. Oh my gosh.
It's basically, do we touch the thing?
Do we touch the thing? Okay, catch up a little bit. We tell Dr. Nasir that we want to be with her, right?
Yeah.
Like, we want to stick around, and she's really excited. She's very pleased, and so she beckons us to come with her, and she leads us into a room by ourselves. She closes the door twice and locks it just to make sure that we're alone, because...
She's in love with us.
No.
Oh.
This whole expedition is about a city on the other side of the moon that no one has explored yet.
Oh, and we
ask her, we're like, one of our colonies? No. An ancient, mysterious city that no one knows about. So it's like a city of aliens. Which is epic.
Epic. Nobody even knows that it was there.
Nobody even knows. Except for her, somehow.
Somehow. But she's done a lot of research.
I guess that's true. But she's also from Earth. I guess maybe that... But she's been on the moon for a while.
Is she?
Well, that's an interesting question, Chad. Interesting question. Actually... Ooh, okay. So, we ask her, how old are the ruins? And she doesn't really know, but she knows somehow that centuries have gone by without anyone living among or walking through the streets. And it takes a whole day to get over there. And so we wake up to Dr. Nasir, telling us to hurry up and put our stuff on, and we get the gear together, and then we ride with Dr. Nasir in our single unit exploration craft away from the rest of the group. So it's just the two of us out there, and everywhere we look as we're passing around the moon place.
Surface.
Area. Surface is a good word. Something just feels a little strange to us. And, like, it looks like normal moon rocks, but they seem a little strange, and an odd feeling overcomes us. And the doctor looks back at us and is like, you feel it too? And we hesitate, but we definitely confirm it. And she says, good. Sensing the hidden is a valuable skill. So we have valuable skills.
Yeah.
We're genius and we have valuable skills. What could be better?
We are a thought time traveling warlock, after all.
After all, this is true. So she stops the craft. She exits the craft with a sliver of rock. Okay, this is where things start to get a little weird. She has a sliver of rock that fits precisely into a hole, like a key to a keyhole.
Yep.
And that opens up a hole in the ground, or I guess the rock face.
Yeah.
A hole in the rock face large enough for us to walk through. And so we follow her in there, and she says, you stay here in the entryway while I check out the rooms ahead. So we're like, okay.
Sure.
And she leaves us behind, and we go over to a corner and sit down to keep from getting disoriented. And when we lean back against the wall, another door opens up just across from us, and inside we see movement and colors and flashes of metal gleaming in what looks to be sunlight. And it's definitely weird. Mm-hmm. And we're super curious about it.
Intriguing.
And so we call for Dr. What's her butt?
Nasir.
Yes. And she doesn't respond. We call her over the comm. We call her louder. She's not getting back to us. And we remember that she said, wait here. And that we probably shouldn't do anything stupid. But we also know that it's shiny and it looks kind of important. And maybe the doctor would want us to check it out.
Literally, this is what I'm thinking, and they wrote the words in the text.
Yeah, no, he literally wrote what we were both going through.
We were both like, let's touch a thing.
And we don't know where she is.
And then he's like, maybe we could just stick our head part way in and like not go all the way in.
And Chad's like, that seems like a good idea.
That's exactly what I would suggest.
But of course, we don't really have that option. And this is something interesting. So the doctor told us to stay here and wait for her.
Yep. Now,
the two choices we're presented with are if we decide to go looking for Dr. Nasir, we turn to page 54.
Because she's not answering the comms.
She's not answering.
Because she's an alien.
Maybe. If you choose to investigate the mysterious hole in the wall, turn to page 64. So neither of our options
are like stay put where we are.
Exactly. Neither of them are what we are supposed to be doing or what we're told to do. I am curious about what happened to Dr. Nasir. She's been really friendly, and even if she is an alien, I don't think that she has malicious intent.
It is strange, though, to me, that we were going and definitely knew about and had access to an ancient alien city, and she only brought her and us.
See, there are many things about this that do seem very strange.
Like, why wouldn't she bring everybody?
Right. We took a ride in the whole Wild Wild West
Spider bus.
Yeah. And so that had to be a crew. You know, obviously Sarah's there. What is everybody else doing back on that thing?
Who knows?
And how did she get this rock sliver that fit into the other rock that made the door open?
I don't know.
See? Questions.
Questions.
So here's the question. Do we look for her, or do we look at the shiny thing?
No, we gotta look at the shiny
thing. You want to look at the shiny thing.
I have something that might help.
Is it a Dove chocolate?
It is a Dove chocolate.
I was wondering when that was going to come around again.
As you may know, listeners, I have an affinity for Dove chocolates, and usually have a bowl of them on the table in my dining room where we record this podcast.
We really need to be getting paid for some of these shout-outs.
This episode of What Would Cherick Do has been
brought to you by
Dove Chocolates, Wild Wild West, and Warner Brothers Cinema.
Also, Will Smith.
And Will Smith. Not Paul Rudd, though. Anyway, not bitter at all. This Dove Chocolate, it's simple, to the point.
Okay.
I feel like really...
Hit us.
It just says, why not?
Oh, shit. Well, when you phrase it like that, why not?
Why not?
Why not? You really want to investigate the mysterious wall?
Yeah, I really do.
All right, folks. I feel like
this is the time it's going to work out well.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because I really don't feel that great about it.
We can see this thing. We have no idea what awaits us looking for Dr. Nasir.
Well, that's true, but we don't know what this shiny sunlight-like thing is in the moon.
Maybe, I don't know either, but I'm going to find out.
All right. Well, I'm curious, too.
Let's explore.
From our history, Chad, I don't know. I don't know. Let's do it.
Yeah.
No. I'm feeling
we're
risky.
We're not going to touch it three times in a row like Project UFO.
You don't think?
No, we might, but whatever. Like, hey, it's we didn't give up our curiosity, so it's getting... You know what curiosity did?
It killed the cat.
It did kill the cat.
Yeah. And I'm on top of that one now.
And us a few times.
And just a few times. Curiosity killed the cherick.
What happened?
Let's go to page 64. Check it out. Check out this mysterious shiny wall hole thing.
That's Professor X.
Oh, shit. All right, folks, here we go. Oh, my God, Chad.
It just got super real.
Oh, my God. I did not see this coming at all.
Man.
This was like, head in this direction. Well, bam. Look at this. Listen to this. Read this. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we stick our finger in the hole in the wall.
Yes, we do.
And before we're in... Like, barely stick our hand in there. We got zipped away. We're no longer in our pressure suit. We're in, like, the home of our house on the moon. And, like, in the study. And we can see all the stuff. And it's all exactly the same. And there's this, like, weird-looking man there. And...
Alien, you might say.
Well, ish. He is actually more of, like, a hologram thought projection.
Or Professor X.
He looked like Professor X in the illustration.
Oh, he does. Yeah, yeah, he's very totally bold, yeah.
But like a Patrick Stewart Professor X.
Definitely. What if it is Patrick Stewart?
That'd be freaking sweet.
That'd be weird.
Let me just boil this. I'll boil this down for you real quick.
It's crazy.
So, before this alien race died out, they took all their knowledge, thoughts, dreams, hopes, fears, failures, stored it in this computer program, and were waiting for someone to come along to interface it, to pass along the knowledge of an entire civilization to. And as soon as we stuck our hand in that hole, all of this information all becomes attuned to our thoughts. And so we're freaked out.
Definitely overwhelmed.
For sure, overwhelmed by the whole situation. But long story short, either, and it would help our society out and teach us more about our earthly history as well.
Agreed.
Which seems intriguing. But our choice is to accept the knowledge of an entire civilization into our brains, or do we just let it be lost to the sands of time?
Sands of the moon time.
But a distant memory of a civilization that once existed, but no one will ever know about in their life.
Except for us.
Except, well, we'll know it existed, but
right. We'll have to live the rest of our life knowing that we turned down the one opportunity to learn about this alien civilization.
Yep.
This is really heavy, Chad.
On one hand, absorbing the knowledge of an entire civilization seems like that's not a good idea.
That seems like a butt ton of information.
I feel like I have seen too many movies where like somebody chooses to do that and like their brain gets all like big and jiggly and like explodes.
I know that I've already used this as an example, but Indiana 4, her eyes explode into flames. Oh, make it stop! And then she, you know, disintegrates into nothing. So that is some serious shit.
Allegedly, though, these might be our ancestors, so they might understand our physiology.
Also, this guy seems totally cool. We ask him, we're like, what if we say no? And he says, well, we're not going to force this upon you.
Yeah, it
you.
Has to be our choice.
Right.
It is a gift.
It is a gift if you...
must be received.
Absolutely. And so they... when he was saying that, I had a very calming and... I felt at peace.
He's like, with, you can choose this.
Yes. I felt in that moment that I could trust this strange hologram alien thing.
Yeah.
And I really feel, I think that we should accept this knowledge. Have we turned down such knowledge before? I mean, we spent the end of our last book, you know, hanging out with the Atlanteans and all their knowledge.
We thought traveled that like champs.
Yes, we did. Just think how much more we could learn about life and history and the mysteries of the moon.
You know, I, as scary as it seems, and legitimately so, I feel like we have to accept this knowledge.
We have to, yeah.
Because you can't just let an entire civilization be killed
this
off.
This one's on us. You know what? We stuck our hand in that hole because we were curious.
Yeah.
We have to take responsibility for our actions, Chad.
Yeah.
I think we got to accept this.
We have to be honorable.
We do. We have to be honorable. We have to be.
It's at our core.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we would not do that.
Who is Cherrick?
Would not do that.
Who is Cherrick if he is not the guy who would download an entire alien race's history into his brain?
Awesome. What if it gives us like some sick superpowers?
There's an idea. I mean, we're already super smart. Our brain can handle it.
True, we got a 97.
Yeah. I bet with this new brain, we'll get 100 easily.
And two.
100 plus some, somehow. Okay, so we've made our decision?
We're gonna receive the aliens' triumphs and failures.
Oh, baby. I guess we should have expected this, but we have really come to a moral dilemma.
Yeah, we have.
So, let's catch you up here a little bit.
Oh, man.
So, we accept the alien's offer. Yeah, this
it's
so,
not like a little bit. It's not like touch the thing or like not touch the thing.
This is
like...
This is deep thinking right here.
I'll think about it. Like, you catch them up and let me process. Thanks.
You cut me off, bro.
My bad.
Cool your brain over there, man. I understand naturalize. You've been downloaded with 100,000 years of alien history, but...
Yeah.
So,
That happened.
The first thing the alien tells us is that the assimilation process will be disorienting. We're like, great, make it quick. Our brain becomes a jumble of colors and sensations. It's going to be kind of hard to describe all of this without reading the text, but we don't know exactly how long it is while we're feeling all of this, but essentially we like feel and understand the lives of the aliens, and we cry out for their pain and for their misunderstandings, and we also experience the love and joy that they've felt at certain times. Some of the stuff that we... I guess, are trying to understand, we can't even comprehend. But eventually, we slowly gain insight into the dreams and fears that caused them to behave the way that they did. These aliens are called the Chanalara, or the people who dream. And they placed tremendous importance on the ability to draw others into their thoughts, which is exactly how we've been kind of drawn into this.
Yeah.
And it says that the closest human equivalent would be telepathy. And we realize that this is what happened, obviously, when we were talking to the alien. Mm-hmm. So humans absorb information and things very differently than the Chanalara did. And so after these experiences and thoughts start to recede a little in our mind, we feel full of their knowledge. And we're so aware of what they did, we also know how to do it ourselves. And we know that even without having tested our abilities, that we can bring all of humanity into our dream, like they used to do as a society, and like they did to us. And so that's pretty crazy. So with that knowledge and realization that we can bring everyone into our dream, we actually ask ourselves out loud, do I have the right to make people do what I want? And by asking that, we realize that, oh, we're back in our body, and we're here, and we're real. It's only been 15 minutes since Dr. What's-her-butt? Why can't I remember her name? Nasir. Since Dr. Nasir left. It's only been 15 minutes. And even though we've aged millions of years, and we have thousands of feelings and thoughts, it's been a very short time. But we don't know why they died, though. We did not figure that out.
We don't know why they died.
Okay, so we know that with the knowledge that we have and with the technology that they possessed, we could help create a golden age of plenty. Like, no one would be hungry, people would be freed from pain and work. I mean, it kind of seems like this is a little bit heavenish, you know? Like, we could bring humanity into a Shangri-La sort of a state.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you there.
But should we? Is essentially the question. The memory of how the aliens' technology was warped to inflict pain and suffering is also very strong. So they also, these aliens, use this technology and knowledge for evil, for torture and war and all the things that we humans, you know, obviously do ourselves. So would people want us to give them this kind of security and peace that we know that we have to offer? If we decide that bringing others into our dream is the only way to stop war and suffering, turn to page 108. If we decide that we do not have the right to make people do what we want them to, we turn to page 68. Chad.
I still don't know.
Damn, you've been thinking... I've been babbling nonsense, and I was hoping that you'd have an answer for me, man.
Well,
come on, you're the smart theologian.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, here, let me walk you down my thought travel.
I want to hear this thought travel.
It seems like a good idea at first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We wipe out all pain, all war, you know, turmoil, gone.
Right.
We live in this utopia.
Right.
Where everybody is peaceful and happy, but that is like never really works out. You know what I mean? Like all the people in every like book and movie who've like attempted to do just that, like create their own utopic society that has no pain, no crime. Like there's always like a downside. Like never, it's never actually turns out like you think it will.
That's fair.
Like everybody becomes like mindless zombies who have no feeling at all and thus can't feel pain.
Or would we even be able to maintain the dream?
Can we maintain the dream for the entirety of the human race?
Here's an important distinction. In the book it says, obviously, I already kind of said this, without having to test our abilities, we know that we can bring all of humanity into our dream. What I don't think that I mentioned was that it also says no single Chanalara would have been able to do this. So, is it just because we've been downloaded with all of their knowledge and wisdom that we now have the capability to provide this dream?
Superpowers.
Okay, that is a major superpower.
Yeah, we're like Professor X plugged into Cerebro that can communicate telepathically with the entire world all at once.
Oh my god, Professor X made us into Professor X.
Bingo.
That's like...
we're like an omega level mutant now.
That's also kind of Inception-y.
Little bit. Wow. Like, we're bringing them into our dream? Like, do they just fall over? Are they even...
no.
Like, is it just all happening, like, in their heads and in our heads?
Oh, sort of like a Matrix thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know, Chad.
I don't feel like I can do this to everyone. I don't feel like I can make this decision to, like, take over everybody's consciousness and force my will upon them. That's Vader, like, that's so, like, dictatory. Like,
that's very dictatory.
Like, yeah. It's, we're just like a tyrant, like, trying, whether our intentions are good or evil, we're, like, enforcing our opinions.
We would be destroying free will, essentially.
We would be destroying free will and curiosity.
We do love our curiosity.
We do love the curiosity. It's what got us here
this. Absolutely.
I don't feel like I can do... I can't do this. I can't bring everyone as good as our intent... like, it should be something that at least, like, people decide together as a group that they want to do.
I do think that this has just happened to us.
Just.
We haven't talked to anyone about it. We haven't seen anyone...
and we're just going to be like, flip this switch.
Right.
And
maybe
like,
we should think about
it. Hey, everybody. Welcome to my nightmare.
I mean, essentially we can do that now.
Welcome to the dark side of the moon.
Living on the dark side of the moon.
Yep.
Okay, I think that was actually the song called The Bad Side of the Moon.
Yeah.
But... the dark side of the moon is, you know, it's a little cliche, and I could have sang that, but I decided not to.
That's fine. I can't do it. I can't.
No.
I don't know if you agree.
I don't disagree.
Not. You know, I don't feel like I can do that. I can't.
I think it would be epic, and I'm very I am personally curious to know what would happen if we even tried to bring these people into our dream. But I agree that, now is maybe not the best time, and that even
I feel like it's a good idea, but it's not something we should decide on our own.
Willy-nilly, just immediately after getting dumped on this, you know, with all this alien information.
We have millions of years of information in our head, and I guess we're able to, like, process and retain and understand it all.
We got a pretty great brain.
But it's still not something that one person can decide for an entire race.
That's true. That's true, you know? Yeah.
When is that ever a good idea?
We're just a moon child, man.
We're just a moon child?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hanging out in the Ponics lab.
Hanging out in the Ponics lab. Accidentally stuck our hand in a... You know, yeah. No, I think I'm with you. I think let's not...
At least take it back to, like, the lunar, like, council or whatever governs this moon. And, like, be like, I have this. Like, we can do this thing. Like, are you guys... You want to? Huh?
Yeah.
How's it sound?
We apparently don't have much of a habit of talking to our parents about things, so maybe we wouldn't do that, but...
Well, now that we have the entire knowledge of an entire race of advanced beings, be like, I can do all these things and make our life so much better.
Hmm. That's true. We can still make so many things better.
So many things.
Even without mind controlling or whatever we need to do. That's... Or would have to do.
The Wild Wild West spider bus is gonna look so sick by the time we're done with it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Okay, all right. So I think we've decided not to make the people follow us.
No, I don't. I can't.
Okay. Well, then we're gonna turn to page 68 and see what happens.
All right. Let's see what happens.
Well. This was very disappointing.
We made the right choice.
We did make the right choice, and our book ended.
Bullshit.
So we say, I can't make the decision for everyone. And Dr. Nasir is right there somehow, and she's like, what decision? And we say, oh, nothing. And then she holds up some shiny objects and is like, I don't know what they are, but I found them in the corridor and in a sealed room, blah, 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 blah. And we say, wow, they seem interesting. We actually know that they're alien fin covers worn when there is too much radiation, kind of like a rain jacket for us humans. But we say, I wonder what they are. And then she says, maybe part of a ritualistic ceremony? And we nod and smile, knowing she's really stupid, and we just say, just one of those mysteries that will never be solved. The end.
Why wouldn't we tell her?
Why
would we not tell her that we have all the knowledge of an entire race stored in our
mind? This was not how I saw this going. We didn't make... No. We didn't force people to have our will, but we should still share with people what happened. And if anybody's going to listen to us and understand what's going on, it's going to be Dr. Nasir.
Yes.
So here's what I'm saying, Chad. We're a dumbass.
We are kind of a dumbass.
I can't believe that we would do that.
I don't understand.
The whole reason that we downloaded this into our brain is so that we would share it with people.
Agreed.
And we're not going to do that?
Apparently not.
Well, that's just frustrating.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I was frustrated too.
Well.
Well, that brings us to our first
major... Respawn.
Yeah, respawn.
We've done a really great job.
I feel like we've done a good job thus far.
But here's the question.
Which choice do we go back to?
We've made a lot of choices, pal.
I think 4 or 5.
But, yeah, okay. 4 or 5.
The first choice that we made was to go on the geological expedition.
Which I think was the right choice.
Or to, you know, take the diplomats on a tour.
That's right. I feel very confident about in that decision. Choice. So we'll move on from there.
The second choice was to...
Learn about the machinery.
Learn about the machinery or go with Dr. Nasir. Also good.
I feel very confident in that, too.
Fairly confident. Well, less confident than the first choice.
Maybe confident's the wrong word, but I feel satisfied.
Yes. I don't feel like... I feel like we need to redo that choice.
Right.
The choice, I feel... Okay, and so we could certainly, like, enslave the entire human race our thought travel.
We could. Okay, so the three options that we have left are, do we touch the thing in the wall, or don't we?
We already did touch the thing. So right. We could, like, go look for Dr. Nasir.
Fair enough. We could go look for Dr. Nasir. We could turn down the alien's offer to get all this into our brain. Yes. Or
enslave the entire human race.
Which kind of sounds like fun.
But after this, like, we can only go back, like...
That's true.
This is the first time we can, like, try to right the wrongs.
So do we go back before we're even presented with the choice to get this knowledge?
I feel like the other, like, enslaving the entire human race is probably also an ending.
I kind of get that feeling, too.
I also feel like turning down the knowledge, probably also an ending.
Yeah. I'm up for going to look for Dr. Nasir.
I think that could be the most... I feel like we've kind of explored this, like, alien thought download. Uh-huh. I'm pretty sure this was, like, an episode of Stargate, too. Yeah, it was.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he stuck his finger in the thing and got all the knowledge of the ancients downloaded in him, and then he could use the secret station in Antarctica to, like, launch the things to destroy the gold mothership that was invading Earth.
I've only seen, like, the first two seasons.
Oh, I just spoiled, like, season 7.
Oh my god! Well, listeners, now you know. Chad just spoiled season 7 of Stargate. He got,
like, his, like, face stuck in this, like, ancient machine.
Man! Okay, I'm sorry, folks. I'm trying to find where this decision was. Well, and I'm coming across so many fascinating questions and decisions that we could have been making.
Let us know what page we're supposed to turn to.
Yeah, would anybody just, like, give us a...
We'll wait for the phone ring. Just give it here. We'll give it a minute.
Okay, wait, I'm going to phone a friend. Anybody?
No? Damn. Some friends you are. Wait, just kidding. Have no idea. Okay, so we are going to go search for Dr. Nasir.
We are. Once I find out where we're going. That was the most terrifying thing.
I don't feel like it's ever described like a death sequence so, like,
no,
vividly.
Not so vividly, and nothing so closely resembling Alien. I was so terrified, Chad. I was terrified. Oh my god.
Yeah, okay, so here's what happened. I'll skip some of the gory details. We go into the next room, we don't see Dr. Nasir, there's a few doors, we're like, I don't know, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, let's just, like, pick one and go, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we go down the one on the left, and we, like, hear, like, this popping sound as we walk through the next door. And then we realize, like, we're in a room that has, like, atmosphere, which is mostly helium, which is weird, but, like, still sustainable for mm-hmm. human life.
Yeah.
And we see a giant hole in the floor with a blue light.
Like, 2 meters wide.
2 meters, yeah. And as we're, like, noticing this hole, metal tentacles, like, reach up out of the floor.
Right, well, we say, oh, there's no way Dr. Nasir would be in here. Let's go check out another one. And then we turn around and the door is not where it used to be.
It's gone.
So we're instantly confused. And then immediately we're grabbed by this metal tentacle-y thing and pulled into this giant hole.
Yeah, and the tentacles are wrapping around us.
Man, yeah.
Can't get free.
We're getting choked and strangled. And,
like, pokes its hole through the visor of our helmet.
Oh, my God, it pokes a hole, and it comes back, and it's, like,
to go through our,
snaking, like, in.
Starts to go for our face.
Oh, I just have these terrible images of it throwing down our throat.
But it didn't do that, because before it did, we, like, spit at it, and it, like, backed away and writhed in pain, and then it came back at our helmet into the same hole and, like, tried to come at our face again, and we spit at it again. And it backed away, and then a blue light flashed in our face, and we passed out. And we woke up, and, like, the tentacles are gone. No, we're still wrapped in the tentacles.
Yeah, we're still wrapped in the tentacles, but for the time being, we're apparently safe. The danger appears to have
passed somewhat, except we're, like, trapped.
So, in all of this chaos, we didn't activate our homing beacon, or our emergency, homing beacon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we are trying to think... What caused the tentacle to writhe in pain? Was it just our spit? Was it part of, like, the human anatomy? Or was it the water in our spit that made it do that?
Because and we decide it's probably the water.
And we have a tank of water.
We use it for drinking. It's part of our suit.
But potentially we could use it to get out of these tentacles and hopefully it will work.
Mm-hmm. Or we could, you know, activate the homing beacon.
Or we could activate the homing beacon. And that's pretty much our decision,
folks. Why can't we do both of those things? Like, why can't we just, like... click on the beacon and do them both.
Well, let me tell you, Chad, it's because our frickin' pack or battery or whatever it is that's powering our suit only has enough power to do one of them.
Oh, and I think if we did the water thing, we have to make another hole in our suit.
I think you're right. But I also think that we're going to have a better chance of getting out of this thing by ourselves than by activating any homing beacon.
Then, like, using the water thing and doing it by ourselves is going to be the best way we should do it?
Well, here's all I'm thinking. We tried to get a hold of Dr. Nasir. She couldn't hear us.
Why would a homing beacon get out of here?
That's all I'm wondering. Like, maybe it's something different, and maybe it activates something differently that would, activate it back at our base.
Yeah, I think I was on the same path. Like, our comms didn't work, so, why would our homing beacon get out? It seems like a waste of time.
It's only us and Dr. Nasir out here. I feel like the chances of us being saved by someone else are super slim. I think we should try to do this ourselves.
Okay. I'm with you.
Yeah?
Yeah, let's try to do it ourselves.
Okay. What page are we turning to?
103.
Here we go.
Well, that didn't quite go like we liked.
You know, I mean, it didn't go poorly, necessarily.
No, it didn't go poorly.
Just didn't really lead anywhere.
Well, okay, so here's what happened. Like, the water thing totes worked. Like,
yeah.
We get, like, first, number one, we're, like, spitting water, like, through our mouth, like, out the hole in our helmet and, like, aiming it at other things.
Kind of a funny image.
Skills.
Yeah.
Mad skills.
Fair enough.
And so we get our arms free and we get like the water hose free and we try the laser drill, but it like didn't work.
Yeah, it was really
anyway,
just the water. Yeah.
Long story short, like we spray the stuff with water, we get free, we climb to the bottom of this like hole that we're in, and it's like a translucent barrier, and we see the surface of the moon.
How? Where are we even at?
I don't know.
I thought we were like inside. I don't know how that makes sense, but we see the surface of the moon.
We down a hole, and we can see the surface of the moon. And we use the last of our power to patch the holes in our suit. And we decide to, like, go out the hole and, like, try to find help and bring them back to go look for Dr. Nasir.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you know, like, and plenty of extra water.
Yeah.
And, in the end.
That's it.
And that's it.
We're just waiting.
The end of the story, like, we're gonna go try to find help. So our last option here
is to just try the homing beacon.
So try the homing beacon.
That's our last hurrah.
Our last hurrah.
Oh, man.
So... this was strange.
This was super strange.
So we flip the switch on our suit, and we're like, wait for help. We start thinking for friends and of our friends and, like, all the things we're going to do at home, you know, and their faces start flashing before our eyes, and we can almost see their faces just floating in front of us. And eventually, we fall asleep, and we wake up, and we see something moving just out of a flicker out of the corner of our eye, and I'm going to read this last sentence.
That's our homing beacon. It's still going. It's been going this whole time.
This whole time. I'm going to read the last sentence to you. It's a quote from the text. The probe has been hard at work. And when it returns, water is its friend.
Boop.
End quote. The end.
Boop. Boop. It's it does not end well for us.
It does
as
not.
As far as that one goes, folks. We probably just should have stuck with our first ending, you know?
Maybe we should have just enslaved the entire
universe. It couldn't have been much worse than how we ended on that last one.
Oh,
man.
But yet, water won't kill it anymore, so I guess it kills us.
Dang.
So well, there you go.
That's that, folks. Man, there were actually some really great choices.
I loved that. That was kind of a good book.
That was arguably, I would say that's my favorite sci-fi based book that we've read so far.
One of my favorite sci-fi books that we've read, like space themed books.
I would say over Project UFO. I think this one was much more interesting.
Yeah, this was better than Punishment Earth.
Absolutely, I would agree with that. Just had some really great ones, and I was flipping through this to try and find that one choice that we made early on. And there were just some really great choices that I saw in there. There was this guy named John. We never even met a guy named
John.
Who's John? I don't know, Chad, but he's in there somewhere. And so, I mean, if you folks pick up this book, it's called Moon Quest, again.
Yep, Choose Your Own Adventure number 26.
Yeah, if you guys pick it up, let us know. Like, I'm really curious on some of these other endings. But yeah, as far as Chariot goes, that's the end of the line, folks.
And I think that's the end of this episode.
Yeah, I think that's the end of episode 13, yeah.
And I just want to give, again, thank you so much to Jacob and Danielle. Mm. Check them out, Blackbird Review, if you're in LA. They got a few shows coming up. And also, check out Jacob's other stuff at facebook.com/windsurfer, WYNDSRFR, windsurfer.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
And, and also, I mean, check out us on Facebook.
Per usual. Plug it.
And, give us a quick rate and review on iTunes. Just do it now. We'll wait while you go. Hit the iTunes app.
Here we go. We're waiting.
On your phone. And we're just going to wait while you do it real quick. And start.
Oh, no. Okay. Just a little bit to the left. Right there.
Yeah, there. And then click on review.
And the 5 stars.
And then 5 stars.
Yeah. And if you really want to, you should probably just write some nice words.
Write like a little message. Like, these guys are so freaking hilarious. I love their podcast
so
much.
We've actually got some really nice ones on there already. Yeah. Which is really encouraging.
You feel free to just copy and paste.
If you have already posted a review, folks, we really appreciate it.
Thank you. We check it all the time.
We really do. Because we got nothing better to do. That's not true.
Because we're excited about
We're really excited about Cherik and this podcast. So, hope you enjoyed episode 13, folks. We did. It was quite fun.
Yeah, I did. Next week,
a little teaser here?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Next time.
2 weeks from now.
2 weeks from now, we're gonna maybe revisit another book that we previously read.
Kind of. Yeah.
We're gonna return to it, and I'm gonna leave it at that.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
One of the books we previously read, we will
be making a return.
We will be making a return.
Yes, but it's a different book. Not the same book. It's like a part two.
Like a sequel.
What? Okay, get excited.
See you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good.
I've been Chad.
I have been Eric, and will continue to be
Cherik.